Parsha Shemini is a very multifaceted parsha. It discusses a tremendous amount about the relationship with great people and Rabbeinu Shem, between people and even between people and animals, and animals and people. And there's obviously a lot going on. You really get to clear the picture, which is very rare actually to have Parsha Shemini doing as man. So if we can try and get as many concepts in as possible. In Perik Pasuk Gimel, this is one of the beautiful, beautiful Parsha. And it's a Parsha which we read. It is to make us cry. And this Parsha is a Parsha of Aaron Akoyan's two wonderful sons, Nadav and Aviu, took the machto of Yidna Behem Eish, they put on fire on it, Vesima Lek Toyrus. And they put Toyrus, Vyakriv Lifnei Hashem, Eish Zara Asher Tzivo Isom. They put an Eish Zara, a strange fire, they were not commanded to do. Now, what does this Eish Zara mean? There's a tremendous machlokes exactly what it was. Some people say, they passed on the halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Some people say, they refused to get married, because they fell to Kadosh. It's various different pshatim. But the Eish Zara over here, Lemaisa calls them, Rachman Litzlan, the next pasuk says, V'teitze Eish v'fnei Hashem, the Eish in front of Hashem, V'teichel Oysom, V'yemusu l'fnei Hashem. And they died l'fnei Hashem. Now l'fnei Hashem means obviously in a level of great Kedusha, and great Tahara, but they were killed. V'yoyme Moishel Aaron, Moishel to Aaron, Hu ha'shediba Hashem le'moir, B'kroiva e'kodesh, from the very source of within me will become Kodesh. What's a better translation to that? The Kroiva Ekodesh.
I'll be sanctified through those who are close to me.
I'll be sanctified through those who are close to me. In other words, Rachman al Islam, through tragedy, through personal death of a great person, it can be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Val Pnei Kola Om Ekoved, Vayidim Aaron, and Aaron was Vayidim. Aaron was quiet. So there's a pasuk that clearly over here is Eish Zara. So, just on a very, very basic shot, the Mephoshim say that the koyach of a mitzvah, number one, has to be done with Tzivay Hashem. There's a lot of streams, there's a lot of fanaticisms in the world, Rachman al-Islam. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and there's a lot of ish, a lot of fire. People put the whole koyach into things. People work with a bren, with a fire. And they go towards this stream, they go towards that stream, and they're willing to die for it. You see people who are willing to die for pro-Gaddafi, anti-Gaddafi, pro-socialist, anti-socialist, communist, and people willing to die. And it, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael also has certain elements that use what they would term as Kedusha, and they're willing to go and be moist and nefesh for that Kedusha. I don't have anyone in mind in particular. But all the Mepharshim are saying, all the Baalei Musar say, you've got to be very careful that any Eish, any fire that a person is using is got to be not an Eish Zorah. It cannot be a strange fire. It's got to be Kashet Tziva Hashem. It's got to be something that Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded. Fanaticism, something that is over and above the fire that Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded, is not something which has been with the mainstream Klal Yisrael. The Gedolim, right across the board, when it came to people trampling upon their privacy, trampling upon their covered, never mentioned and opened their mouth. The Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, he was such a private person, he was such a quiet person. When he had to give a shir klali, his father, on his father's yacht side, he'd give a shir. He'd get a little minion together of 10 people, and he couldn't sleep the night before because he was shaking so much of stage fright, and he's got to give the shir. But when it came to standing in the breach and saying what's right and what's wrong, and raging war against those people who are trying to trample, he was Eish, he was fire. So you've got to make sure that it's Chas V'Shalom, it's not that Eish Zor. But the Pasuk says Whatever it is, it's a difficult parasha. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, how right and how wrong. It's a difficult parasha. But what we do come out from this parasha is, there's a Kiddush Hashem over here. What Kiddush Hashem was over here? V'yidam Aaron. So there's a pasuk, says Rashi. Kibel schar shtikosi. He got schar for keeping quiet. Uma schar kibel. What schar did he get? Shenis yachid imay hadibu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was miyachid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu focused his dibur on him. Shneem reloy levadoi parasha shesuyi yayin. That to him alone, the parasha of drinking wine was related to. In other words, Rav Yosef, let's get this very clear. There's a machlokes we discussed beforehand. What exactly did they do wrong? Some people say, some Farshim say, what they did was that they drank wine before they went into the base of Mikdash. They felt that wine, as you see on Purim, people could reach tremendous levels drinking wine. They do ben adon lechaveri, ben adon lemokoi. Tremendous levels. Drinking wine can bring a person to tremendous levels. And they felt that this simcha and this histabkus rebbeinu can be done in a better level if they are, excuse the concept, high. Yeah? And Balamaisa is an Eish Zara. So according to this, it makes a lot of sense to say, to understand why, that the parasha of Rishuyi Yain, of a Kohen, not being allowed to be drunk, to come into the Beis Midosh, is said to Aaron because it's directly related to this. But according to that other Peshatim, that it's nothing to do with drinking wine, that's not what they did wrong. Why is it that Aaron Dafka got this parasha of Rishuyi Yain, where it's really not Negea to the Avera? The Avera was passing halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, where the halacha was not getting married, whatever. That's nothing to do with Rishuyi Yain. What's the idea? Why Dafka this? Vayidim Aaron. What's the shot of Vayidim Aaron? So the Chassidish Rebbe said Vayidim Aaron means Vayidim Aaron. Aaron hot gemacht ashvaig. Aaron made a quiet. What does that mean? One can be quiet by being passive, not doing something. Yeah, one can passively be quiet, and one can actively be quiet. Vayidim Aaron means Aaron actively was quiet. What's pshat? A person could not have emotion. A person could be in a state of shock. A person can be in a state of not being involved in what's going on. A person can be out of things. Now, but you go to the Levaya sometimes, and you see the family, and you think, wow, how brave. And it's not brave. It posh at Nebuch, you wait a week or two or three or 4 weeks, sometimes a few months, and suddenly, bam, it hits them. It's not brave. It's posh at the mind hasn't allowed the information to trickle through because the body posh at can't take it. And there's a defense mechanism, there's like a circuit breaker that breaks the connection between the reality and what's happening. And then you see Nebuch, you see by the vay there's no emotions b'chlal. And then you see, and then finally when they come to the actual burial, and there they're blowing it, suddenly, whoa, all the tears come out. Why? Because finally the reality has kicked in. Vayidim Aaron can be translated as, Aaron kept quiet, never hit him. Vayidim Aaron in this context is talking about he made a vayidim. In other words, this was a controlled action. This was Aaron was so controlled that he actually became a vayidim. The Chofetz Chaim says, vayidim Aaron means a person cannot say anything, a person cannot cry, a person cannot moan, but he can see he's suffering. In this context, vayidim means he was a doimim. A doimim means you could not see any emotion on him at all. He was completely controlled. That was Aaron HaKohen. Two of his sons died. Where is all this about Oysa Mitzvah Yeda Dovara? Where's all this mitzvah about going to Rabbein Shloinam, Koyanim, Tveikis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbein Shloinam? You know, they're doing your Avodah. But Yidim Aaron, it wasn't a hair that moved without his Machshava. That was Aaron HaKohen. Because of that, he was Zeicha to the Parasha of Shesuya Yayin. What's Shesuya Yayin? Shesuya Yayin is a concept of being drunk. Being drunk means not in control. You see people, just a few days after Purim, you see people who are the quietest, unassuming people on Purim, suddenly, whoa, these guys are jumping up and down, and the whole kishkas come out, right? And you see people on the opposite, they see really nice people, and suddenly they're really aggressive. Or who they are, Shesuya Yayin is when a person's not in control. is a person is not focused, he is not able, you know, to drink and drive. That's all it is. It's drink and drive. In Avodas Hashem, you cannot drink and drive. In Avodas Hashem, it's got to be such that you're totally in control at every moment. Every bodily instinct should be totally focused on Avodas Hashem. Rishmol Rezovsky, Zeichas Adlin Vracha, once dropped, I think that's what it was, he dropped Gemara from a shtender. And he was oismensch, he was so frazzled, he was so upset. So I said, he kissed it, it's not per tefillin, it's not Sefer Torah. He said, but how can my hand move without me thinking? How can my hand move to make an action with my hand and without me thinking beforehand and make the Sefer fall? Every muscle was totally controlled by Avodas Hashem. And this is possible by big people as well, and also by little people. There's no doubt. Rishayim Zalman, Zeichas Adik Tavrocha, was very, very punctual. And at one stage in his life, Rachman Litzlan, his young tool, was Nifta. And the Chevra Kedisha knew Rishayim Zalman's punctuality, and they announced Levi for a certain time and told everyone, you know, it's going to be on time. And the register started, the Levi people were outside, the yeshiva was outside, the kahila was outside, everything was waiting. And Rishayim Zalman locked himself up in the room and kept everyone waiting. And people were very surprised. After 20 minutes, he cut the room. So he said to Rishayim Zalman, what's this all about? He said, a while later, he said, the Gemara says, Chayiv Odom Lavarach Al Ra Kishem Shavarach Al Tov. A person's mechuyev to thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu for the bad, the same way he thanks a Kodesh Baruch Hu for the good. He said, I was thanking Rabbeinu Shlom for the bad, but it wasn't the same way I thanked him when my daughter was born. And I was working on myself, and I closed myself up to learn Musa, that in Emunah, and Betochen, and Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until I reach a stage that I can honestly say, Baruch Dina Emes, the same Kavana, the same love I said, Shehechiyonah when she was born. That was a Shema Zalman. My sister, should be well, from Gateshead, she had a 9-year-old son, very wonderful boy, Yishai. Our library is named after him. And Nebuchadnezzar, just before Rosh Chodesh Av, he was run over. A couple of days before Rosh Chodesh Av, he was run over in Gateshead. And he was in a coma for 9 days. And it was 3 weeks. And Nebuch, there's a whole shaylus, had to turn off the machine, difficult shaylus, very, very difficult shaylus. And they put the whole family together. And my sister said to the family, you should just know that however hard it is to allow a child, to see a child slipping away from this physical world, it's must be more difficult for a parent to see a child slipping away in a spiritual way. So I prefer to give my child up like this any time and see a child never go off the derech. That's the kind of pain a parent goes through. And when the child was nifta, she went round and thanked every single nurse and every single doctor and every single person who was involved. You know, you see Gadlus. There's Rebbetzin Weinberg. He was a Rosh Shiva of in America of no, not of Israel. No, not that Weinberg. Not Rabbi Yaakov. No. Shari Yosha in America. Shayoshev in America. Yeah, was the name Rabbi Weinberg? I think it was Rabbi Weinberg. And he was in camp in the middle of the Catskills with the yeshiva. And Rabbi son, he had a heart attack. And the Russian outsold for a helicopter to come to the Catskills. Mamash, he was perfectly healthy. And that Sala worked on him and worked on him, and after a few hours they came out to the Rebbetzin and said, I'm sorry, the Rosh Yeshiva never made it. So Rebbetzin Weinberg said, it must have been so difficult for you to have to tell me this. That's for Yidam Aaron. That is, you can be passive and you can be active at Yidam. You can work in your midst to a stage where a person not but suffering by shock, he is actively involved in controlling himself. in creating a vayidoim, creating a vayidoim, that is godless. And that's Aaron HaKohen. And that's why he gets a parasha Suyayin. Suyayin, people got to forget things and you got to live. No, I can live and I can be happy. Now people, Nebuch, Rachman HaSan, when the tragedy happens, they go to alcohol. And the Gemara says sometimes that's what it's for. I'm not saying that's what a person should become an alcoholic, Rachman HaSan, with Tzoros. But the Gemara says sometimes a person needs to get a bit of a, you know, a bit of a boost with a bit of alcohol to get him a little bit happier. Not a coin going to Devekus to Rebbeinu Shleilam. Devekus closest to Rebbeinu Shleilam, create the greatest tool, the greatest connection Rebbeinu Shleilam is a cure within itself. Okay, let's read the Maharon. I want to go over now something very, very different. And that is the parasha with regard to the different animals. The famous parasha. Quite funny. Yesterday, I took the kids to the zoo, and there's an animal there that looks very, very similar to a pig. It's like a black-haired animal. So I don't know what it's called.
Tapir.
And there's a little sign underneath it. All the language has it all in English and it's writ. And there's one little sign. Have you seen it? Sign in Yiddish. Das ist nicht a chazel. This is not a pig. Because al pi aloch is also be megadol chazerim. It's a cherim on those people megadol chazerim who grow pigs in Eretz Yisrael. So probably each time, you know, you can imagine the Shami kids throwing stones at it, and so the little side Yiddish, das is nicht a chazel. You know, it's not a pig, but it had split hooves, right? So it probably is a pig fatty. Yeah.
How do they know what it looks like?
It's a chiyuv. Hmm. According to some Yoreda Mitzvah, it's a chiyuv to know exactly which animals are kosher, which animals are not. There's a book that came out recently. Somebody here from Ramat Beit Shemesh, who Signs of Life, and he goes through the various different shittas and shows what it is. There's a mitzvah apparently to know the exact details. Anyway, so, but listen to this beautiful, beautiful kliyaka. Says a kliyaka in the beginning of Perik Adalef. Adav Hashem and Moshe and Aaron Lemur Aleim. Adav Bnei Yisrael Lemur. Zoisachai Shtoichum Kol Behemas Hashaaretz. These are the animals you should eat. Kol Mafreses Parasu Shashesa. Here we talk about the idea of having split hooves and chew the cud. We all know this. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yisai, if the parasha stopped here, that's it. We would know everything. In other words, the Torah does not go into too much detail. In fact, when it comes into the birds, we don't even know exactly what the simonim are. We need the Mishnah to tell us exactly what the simonim are. Okay? If it's got an extra foot, there's all different simonim the Mishnah brings. But the Pasuk doesn't go into great detail when it comes to the birds. When it comes into the examples of the animals, it seems to be some few psukim which are totally redundant. Okay, so Alpi Kiruv, the idea is that these are the only four animals you find and never find for other animals, and even with all the various thousands of species that have been discovered, they never found anything that chews a cud and has not had split hooves besides these three animals. The camel. The camel, the hyrax, and the no, it's not. A rabbit doesn't chew the cud. Whatever the third one is, and you'll never find any other animal that has split hooves and doesn't chew the cud besides the pig family. Okay, fine. So that's a Kirib thing, which is an amazing thing. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu could say such a thing without going to the deepest rain forests and the jungles and coming up with such a thing. You find one other animal, we're in a lot of trouble, right? We haven't.
The hyrus, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't.
The camel, the hyrus, and the hare. Yeah.
The hare.
That's exactly
hair, though. I know, it's translated, yeah.
It's a bit of bold thing to say, that's a hare. Anyway, so here we have the idea. Here is that they have these animals. Why could it deal? Now listen, that's one kasha. The second kasha is, if you go into the kliyoko, taking you a long time to get that one. Okay, if you look into the Kliyoka, the Kliyoka says it this. Look in the Pasuk. Look into this Pasuk. It's such a powerful thought. Ach ezer lo teichei. Let's take this Pasuk over here. Okay, you know what? Let's take the different one. Let's take the more posh one. Es ha-shofon. The shofon is the hyrax. Ki malageirohu. It is a malageiro. In other words, it does chew the cud. Uparso lo yafris. But it does not have a spoof. Tommy hu lechem is Tommy. Now, let me ask you a question. What is more Tommy? An ant Or a camel. What does Will tell me? Elephant have no simantara b'chlal. A camel has one simantara. What is Mul Tommy? An elephant or a camel? So the Kibshutai could say, a camel is halfway there. A shafal is halfway there. A chazer is halfway there. It's less Tommy. Asks the Kliyaka, the Pasuk is strange. The Pasuk says, why is a shafal Tommy? Because it's a maligera. No! The shafal is Tommy not because it's a maligera, because of Pasuk Yafris. It does not have. So therefore, why bring in ki maligera? Who the shofan is ki, because it's a maligera. Upasli afris, and it does, but it doesn't have a split hoof. Tommy who lechem is Tommy. Just say the shofan don't have, because the upasli afris doesn't have a split hoof. Don't bring in the simon tahara. Says together the same thing. It says by the adves. Says by the chazir. Yeah, he says ki mafris parsel who, because it's mafris parsel. Vahu geirla yoga, Tommy hulachem is Tommy. On the contrary, the fact that it's mafis paso makes it less Tommy. So the kliyoko. Vloma hischu bekulam besimun tahara. Why each time they bring a simun tahara shalahem? And then say it's Tommy. Just talk about the fact that it has a simun tumma. Well, bia inyan there, says the kliyoko. The bia inyan is as follows. She simun tahara shibakulam. The simun tahara of all of them. Moisif tuma al tumasam makes it even more tummy. Kiderach sha'amr be'esof shenim shalach chazir be'esof like a chazir shepoishet es talafav. He puts out his. If you see a pig, it always puts out his hooves. Haris kilo kosher to show that if he's kosher. V'toychoy mole tuch, and inside he's full of tuch. Yeah, he's full of garbage. Umirma and conspiracies. Okay? This shows anyone who's not inside the way he is outside. Kemidas hatsiv oinim, those people who are coloured. You pretend to be things that they aren't. Umarin es asma kasherim, and they pretend that they're kosher. Vehemar b'li sofek, gruin min arosha. These people are worse than the rinarosha gomor. Can see he's bad. Do you see this? That's what he's saying over here. He's saying that because the, let's say that the Shofan again, because the Shofan has one Simon Tahara, these are the most Tommy animals in the world. Because if they only looked, if they had two Somali Tumma, we know to be careful from these people, or from these animals. The fact that they have one, these are the most Tommy animals in the world. And that's why the Simon Tahara is a Simon Tumma. And that's what he says is the same with people. You've got to be very careful. You've got to be very careful with people who pretend to be big tzaddikim, but inside they're not Teichah Kabari. It's better, the Kotzku used to say, I prefer a Rasha who knows he's a Rasha, yeah, than a tzaddik who knows he's a tzaddik. Yeah? But he says, in this context, he's saying even more than that, the worst thing in the world is to have a Rasha who pretends he's a tzaddik. That is the worst. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kaplan, always used to say, he says by the Eliyahu Novi, by the Melech, he said, either go to Baal, or come to Rebbeinu Shleilam. What kind of option is this? Either go to the Baal, or come to Rebbeinu Shleilam. It's not an option to go to the Baal. Either go to Christianity, become Jewish. So he says, you know why? Because if you try and jump at both places, it's even worse. If you go to the Baal, go to the Baal. At least you know you're a Baalnik. One day you'll do tshuva. If you try and be both, you try and pretend you're one thing and you're really something else, you're trying to show something else, that's the most dangerous. That is the most dangerous animal. Yeah, absolutely. That is the most dangerous. Exactly. That's one very, very nice pshat. The symbol, yeah, see, it's a very powerful thought. The symbol of absolute tumah, though, you know, like the epitome of tumah, is also known as a chaza. You know, a person can, rahman al-islam, he can eat not kosher meat, yeah, or you know, if we want you have possible cholov, but sure. If he eats chaza, that is already the epitome of despicable distance from Yiddishkeit. Chaza. Why is chaza so bad?
Isn't there worse than chazer? Just question.
Be halacha. Of course it is. A person who eats tiny fly in a lettuce is over more yisurim than a person who eats a gezeiras chazer. No doubt. But it's certain, there's a certain symbolism of chazer. He's a chazer fresser. You know, why is chazer so bad? Chazer, the two simonim of tahara is choose a kad and a split hooves. Split hooves represents putting your hand out to others. It represents ben odom lechaveri. Yeah, it puts your hands ben odom lechaveri. Right? Choose a kad is ben odom lemakom. Yeah, it's ben odom lemakom. You don't see it from the outside. It's just regurgitating inside and inside what you have. It's trying to work within the stomach, within yourself, working within yourself. Those two simonim make a Jew. Ben odom lechaveri and ben odom lemakom. You have one without the other, that's terrible. What we say to a chazer is, you're showing ben odom lemakom, you've ben odom lechaveri. You're trying to show, by the way, that itself is Tommy. If you attempt to create who you are based on a society that cares about individuals, does not care about the Rebbeinu Shleilam, that is an ultimate despicable act. Because ultimately, people who care about themselves and don't care about the Rebbeinu Shleilam, rak einiras alekim b'mokim hazeh, v'orgun yaldava ishti. That's the biggest corruption to society. I said this before many times. Who was it? I think Rabbi Chanan Wasserman came to Germany years before the Second World War. And he said, Rabbi Isai, I'm just telling you, he spoke in a shul. He said, well, I see here perfect order. I see here a society that is very, very careful about other people's rights and menschlichkeit and manners and politeness. He says, one thing I don't see. Rak! Only one thing I don't see here is ben odom lemakom. You know what's going to happen? Faraguni al davar ishti. They're going to kill me. They're going to take the whole society and rip the whole society apart. That is what you say to the chazer. Yiddishkeit says, you want to be such a nice guy. You're trying to say that you can manage without the Torah to become a menschlicher person. You're wrong. Because when you get pushed a little bit further and you try and keep your dignity, it's not going to work. Because if unless you have Musa, unless you have Torah values, a person turns into an animal. A person turns into a savage. And that is an ultimate despicable act.
As opposed to having one of the other sides.
But Adam Mokim also isn't any good.
Right, one without the other isn't good.
One without the other is no good.
So I'm saying, why is then a chazer more tummy than a camel?
Because I'm not showing anything from the outside. I'm showing chazer is he puts his thing very proudly forward. In other words, he puts through his idealism, and his ideology, and the fact that here, this is who I am. I can outstretch my hands. I can connect with man from man to man without any Rebbeinu Shleilam. That he proudly presents. That is his idealism. Yeah, that's most of the world is like that, right? And that is something that's despicable. Mashenka, the person, the animal that is just within himself, we don't hear about this person, we don't see this person. He's not making ideology out of this. Okay? There's a lot behind this as well. The goyim are split into two different groups. There's a group of those people who are always regurgitating the past. Yeah, the Arabs are always regurgitating the past. You know, they're this and the past, and but they have no future. You know, they're stuck in the same rut. All they have is a bit of oil. You know, they're not using their head to work for high tech. You don't find that huge major high tech companies in Saudi Arabia. Yeah? They're basing themselves on the past. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. Oil? They're using that oil. Shkoyach. You know, what's going to happen in 2020? We're not going to use oil anymore. They'll starve, you know, and blame Israel for it. But, okay, United Nations will help them out. But that's what's going to happen. On the other hand, we have the Western world, which forgets about the past. It's always a future. Putting out the hoof further, forgetting about the past, the old generation, what do they know? Always looking for the future. We've got to work on both. We've got to work on our past in order to propel us further. That's a Jew as well. Vesa Chasido, let's just finish off. Vesa Chasido. Says Rashi, Loma Nikra Shmo Chasido. Why is it called Chasido? Sho'ise Chasodim im Chavri Seho. It does Chasodim with his friends. Ask the Mefarshim, why is that an Oif Tommy? He does Chesim with his friends. What's wrong with that? So Mefarshim say two very sharp things. The Kotzka says, the Kotzka says, Vesa Chasido. He says, excuse me, this is later on. He says, brings from Ibn Ezra, Hachasido, hi haniris l'moy odim yidurim b'shono. These are the birds that one sees several times of the year. He said, you see the birds over certain times, and during this time of the year, the birds are doing migration, and they fly over Eretz Yisrael. Thousands upon thousands, you see, over Bet Shemesh. Thousands upon thousands of storks. Unbelievable, huge birds flying over. He says, these are birds we see sometimes. He says, Esa Chasido. He said, sometimes we see Chasidim. He spoke to his Chasidim, he's very sharp. He said, sometimes I have some Chasidim who we see them only a few times a year. Rosh Hashanah they come, you know, and they got Tzoros they come, but they're not the Chasidim the whole year. They're not Ovdei Hashem the whole year. You know, Esa Chasido, which we see. Moedim Yiduim Bashanah, a few times a year, but he comes suddenly, Elul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He says, that's Noif Tommy. That's not a proper Jew. A Jew is somebody who constantly works on himself. We see him again and again. That's the Oif Tohir. That's the Oif Tohir. But something you only see a few times a year when things get tough for Yom Neroim, that's a Chasidah, the Nirv Kamba Yom Neshanah. Get rid of him. We don't want that. And the Prophet says something much, much stronger than that. And they say, the Chasidah is very wonderful to do Chesed. But the kunz is, the idea is, not to chas v'shalom limit your chesed to only your group. To only to do chesed to your particular species, that is a simon of a oif tommy. A Jew, it doesn't matter who the Jew is. It doesn't matter who he is. There's certain privileges, of course, that a person who is not apokoros has, or a person who's a Russia doesn't have. But if a Jew is this chasidus, or whether it's a Svadi, or a Taimani, or Ashkenazi, whether it's a Svadi, whether it's older, whether it's young, or whether it's a Chutznik, whether it's Reid. What difference does it make? To have a Chesed organization that only helps one particular stream, or one particular group of people, that is not what Rabbeinu Shlomo had in mind for Chesed. We've got to be Mechasen Kol HaBrios. The biggest Gedolim. You see, we're waiting outside by the Gedolim, the big, big Tzaddikim. People from all streams of life. All colours, shapes, sizes, they're all coming in asking them for the bracha, and each one will get their warmth, their love. Sort of just finish off with one last thought, if you don't mind. Later on the parasha talks about the Tomei Shirotzim. And it brings a list of the Tomei Shirotzim. In Perek Yud Aleph. That these Tomei Shirotzim are mamish Tomei. If they die, you become Tomei. In Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Then our Pasuk Lamed. Okay. I thought the asker would help me here. Yeah, he talks about. He says the va'anoka va'hakoyach va'altor va'achoyim va'antin shomes. So he says either hedgehog, porcupine, the lizard, the snail, the slug. Okay, various different animals. If you touch them in a tummy, the mole or the different animals over here. The achbor is a scorpion. No, the achbor is a ferret. Whatever it is, there's a list of animals. Rabbi Yisai, which animal would you see is missing from this list? Absolutely. What? The snake, our biggest enemy. The snake, our biggest enemy. Why isn't the snake, Tommy? From hour one, yeah, he's put out to get us. From all these animals, if you touch him, you become Tommy. The snake! Make him Tommy! Says Chasam Sofer.
He really got punished, though.
He's punished, but we still hate him. Right? Eivashis! Make him Tommy! He doesn't have legs. Okay. They still look very happy in the cages, believe me, right? So make it Tomei. If you touch it, becomes Tomei. Because we may have to kill them, and they're dangerous animals. If you kill them and they become Tomei by removing them, a person may not want to become Tomei and may not kill them. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though we hate this snake so much, I'm not going to make it Tomei. Because it shouldn't have the small Yetzirah not to kill it. Because once it becomes, kids have become Tomei, you won't be able to eat Truma, whatever it is. Therefore, other rabba kill it. Now this sefer can be translated in many, many different ways. First of all, the person thinking behind it, got a snake. Pekuach nefesh, yeah. But it'll get away with my Tumah and Tahara. How a person cannot be focused on the correct things of danger, of physical danger, when he's thinking about maybe the Eish Zara over here. So you become Tomei, but you're saving lives. Number one. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken into the Cheshbon and said, okay, even though people may have sort of an Eish Zara inside them, I'm not going to put them into this Nisayon. Okay? There's a lot going on in these parashas, and there's so much more to say, but Be'ez Hashem, we should go through this parasha carefully, and we see ideas over here, Ben Odom Lamokoyim, about Vayidom Aaron, how Aaron HaKoyim didn't active Vayidom, how different people did Vayidom. With the idea over here, the Kli Yoko, by the Simon Echod of Tahara is a bigger Simon of Tumah. The idea of the Chasidah, that Chesed is with everybody, it's going to be constant. And finally, this part on the Chacham Sofer that talks about the idea of Dorcher Darchenoyim when it comes to the snake.